Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. First of all, a word of thanks to all of those who are watching us via live stream for today's Mass, a word of thanks to those who made this possible, and a word of prayer as we begin. We pray for God's blessing on what I am about to say, and we ask God's blessing on all of those who are watching, listening, who may hear. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We arrive today at this fourth Sunday of Lent. It's famous as Laetare Sunday, famous for its rose vestments. Father Connolly calls these the Pepto-Bismol vestments. It's also a big turning point for this entire season. What began on March 1st, the first Sunday of Lent, continues now. On that first Sunday, we saw Jesus' great victory over Satan and all of his temptations. Jesus went out to that desert, and while he never conversed with Satan, early and often, Jesus taught us that we can send Satan back to hell in his name. Early and often, we can resist Satan by calling on the name of Jesus. Yes, Jesus gives us victory. It's his victory that he shares with us over evil. That was week one. Week two, we saw Jesus' divinity. There on Mount Tabor with Peter, James, and John, God the Father showed Jesus to be his beloved Son. Jesus was transfigured on that mountain, and that helped the disciples for the difficult time that was ahead. And they would always remember those words of the Father, the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Last week, that beloved son encountered the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, and he listened to her. He had difficult conversation with her, calling out and listening to her infidelity, her adultery. And yet, that difficult conversation led to a most beautiful conversion of heart. So much so that she fell in love with Jesus and became a witness to him. Today, as we begin this fourth week of Lent, we meet the man who was born blind. And three things I'd like to highlight: the miracle itself, the impact on the whole of the gospel, the whole of Jesus' ministry, and our Lord's laser-sharp clarity, able to disperse all confusion. First of all, the miracle. This is not just a personal miracle of Jesus with another, but it's also a physical miracle. Jesus uses mud, saliva, clay, and water. Jesus not only speaks words, but he applies his word to the physical things. In some of the miracles, Jesus does just speak a word and people are healed. But today, he does something different, something sacramental. And man, don't we appreciate that all the more? As beautiful as technology is for people to be able to see me right now over the internet or hear me over a podcast, I'm just dots on your screen. I'm just a voice that's out there online. It's so much better if you were in front of me, if we could encounter one another and see and be here and touch. And such is the encounter that Christ provides. He provides it for the man today. It's physical. And there should be a longing for that. Make sure you get outside in these days and take a walk. Appreciate the creation, all of which is of God. That's the miracle itself. Now the impact on the whole of Jesus' ministry. This scene shows us and exposes something big. Namely, that it's not just the physical blindness of this man that Jesus is dealing with, but it's the much greater spiritual blindness of the whole scene. The whole culture, the whole context is very much confused and blinded. Right from the start, there's an argument over why this man is blind in the first place. His parents must have been sinners, something they did terrible. Then it continues, is this the man who was blind or not? Is he the guy that was begging that we were so familiar with, or is that someone else? There's confusion there, and then there's confusion throughout the story. It's almost as though this man is on trial. Two times he's brought before people to give an account, and he gives it. They drag his parents into the mix. We don't know how long this lasted. It has reflections, if you will, of the trial of Jesus, even. It's unbelievable. And even for the man, he is a bit confused. All he knows is that he was healed. We find this beautiful quote, and it might be worth sitting on in these days, sitting with and studying in these days. It's John chapter 9, verse 25. The blind man who can now see finally says, "One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." And that one sentence, that one fact, cuts through it all. And after he claims that truth, that I was blind and now I can see, Jesus finds him again, takes that experience, and threads the gift of faith. Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He says, "Who is that?" And Jesus says, "It is he who is speaking to you." And the man says, "I believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. My friends, Jesus finds the man, takes that experience, and threads it carefully into faith. My friends, this entire season of Lent is meant to bring us closer into authentic worship of the true and only God, Jesus. If the Advent and Christmas season prepared us for the coming of God, God with us, Lent and Easter is all about our coming to God, us with God. And you know, that's a hard work. That's tough work. It demands purification. It involves our conversion in faith. And oftentimes, it involves difficulty. It's no accident that it's in the desert scenes. It's in the difficult moments that we are brought to deeper points of faith. And in this moment, in this different time, in this difficult time, we too are brought and invited to be brought into a deeper faith, into a greater peace, knowing God's power, his authority, and his lordship over all. My friends, like today's gospel, we are living in very important days. There is lots of confusion, and it's unbelievable. You might be asking, as I am, is this for real? Is this overreacting? Is this overkill? The data so far on this virus doesn't even match up with the flu. And yet the response is so great. And while we are all willing to flatten the curve, we might find ourselves a bit flattened and confused. What in the world is happening? And this gives us an opportunity to once again call to mind the saving power of God, who is in the business of healing and raising up. And what does that mean for us? Peter, James, and John, they heard this man Jesus. They responded to his call. And they saw beautiful and wonderful things, so much so that they made an act of faith and they followed him unto death. The woman at the well met this man who spoke to him truth, who knew everything about him and did not scorn her or throw her away, but invited her to follow. And she did. She became a witness to Jesus Christ. And this blind man did the same. I believe, Lord, and I worshiped. And guess what? Now is our time to do the same. Did you ever imagine that you would live in such times? Did you ever imagine that you would be part of what we're seeing unfold now? No. And yet we are. And Jesus Christ can use this in a beautiful way to bring us closer to where he now is. And so in this time, in addition to washing your hands and keeping social distance, draw close to the God who is so close to us. Know him to be Lord. Thank him for the life and the good things that he has given to us, gifts entrusted to us. And even in those difficult times, even in those moments where life has not been such a gift to us, broken relationships, addictions, lack of work, anxiety, worry, know him still to be Lord. Walk with him and allow your heart to worship him. I close with Paul's letter to the people of Ephesus, which we heard today and which now apply to us. Live as children of light. Take no part in fruitless works of darkness, but try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. My friends, if we can be attentive to that, and we can try to learn and do what is pleasing to him, what a beautiful gift. It is the way of peace. Lord, help our lives this day and this week to be pleasing to you, you who are so pleased to be with us. God bless you.